Tammy Flanagan is Senior Benefits Director at the National Institute of Transition Planning, and writing about the best day to retire. Now, you're famous almost for being the best day to retire person, Tammy. But what you're writing about here, I think, is interesting because you get at something that I've been hearing more about, and as we spoke about before we went on the air, you're hearing people talking about too, and that is there are two important components to figuring out the best day to retire, and they don't have anything to do with the calendar. They have everything to do with the person who's considering retirement, right?
That's right, Francis. Yeah, whenever you're trying to figure out when's the best time to retire, you've got to think of the money. Am I financially ready to retire? But then you also have to think about the psychological aspects. Am I mentally prepared for this big transition in my life, especially if I'm not used to, you know, structuring my own day and planning what I'm going to do and spending all day with my husband or my wife? So there's a lot there to the mental part of retirement planning.
When we first started to hear about phased retirements, Mike Causey's prediction was that there would be a lot of people going back whose husbands or wives would say, I want you to go back because of that very idea. And it's not just the idea that, oh my heavens, he's home all the time now, or she's home all the time now, and I can't take it. But just the idea that so many people, especially federal employees, are connected to their work and connected to the mission of the agency in such a way that to just walk away kind of cold turkey is jarring, a lot more jarring for people than they probably expected when they first started thinking about retiring.
Well, yeah, I always talk about my Uncle Steve, who retired back in 1978. And I asked him, I said, what did you do to prepare for your retirement? And he said that he just put his application in 30 days before he turned 55, because back in those days, they still had mandatory retirement for all federal employees, and he felt the pressure to go. But he said, looking back over the 34 years of his retirement, that he really did enjoy his work. He worked at Edwards Air Force Base, and he worked on some of the space missions. And he really felt that, you know, if he would have thought about it and planned for it, he probably would have worked a little bit longer.
The mental side of retirement, I think, is the interesting part, because that's the part that is totally subjective. The idea of you have enough money or not, you can almost turn it into a math problem. There's a little bit of subjectivity to it about what your comfort levels are with the risk that you have in your investments, whether it's TSP or whatever. But a lot of that you can turn into a math problem and say, I'm going to need this much, and I will probably live this long. And do the numbers add up? The mental part of it is completely subjective, and you cite this book, The Joy of Not Working by Ernie Zelinsky, in what you're writing here. What do you think somebody would get out of that who's in this position of trying to figure out if they're mentally ready to retire?
And I followed up by the book called How to Retire Happy, Wild, and Free by the same author. I mean, this guy's got the mental aspects of retirement down pat, and he writes with a lot of humor, but he also writes, you know, some very good ideas for developing a plan for your life after retirement. You know, just as much as you plan financially to retire, you have to plan your travel activities, you have to plan your hobbies, and, you know, what are you going to do with all those extra hours? So he has, you know, tons of ideas. So I really enjoy referring people to his books, because they're hit with humor, but they're also full of, you know, a lot of practical advice about that wisdom that you just don't get from a financial advisor.
You quoted one line from the Joy of Not Working book: a successful retirement encompasses not only adequate financial resources, but also all other aspects of life: purpose, family, friends, interesting leisure activities, creative pursuits, and mental, physical, and spiritual health. And that's a holistic approach to what your life is going to look like when you're not working at your job every single day, because, you know, people realize if they do think that they're going to just do nothing, they realize pretty quickly after they leave their jobs that that's really not very fulfilling and not very interesting for most people.
That's true. Yeah, you don't want to spend your whole day watching television. But I think people who have had time to do that in their life, especially, I know, you know, women have, in many cases, have spent time home with their kids or have taken more time off of work, perhaps. And sometimes I find that to be the case, that a lot of women really do look forward to retirement as a time when they'll be more fulfilled family-wise, and they have a whole list of things they want to do in their retirement. And sometimes I'll find, and I know this sounds sexist and it might go both ways, but sometimes I find that men are more fearful of that time, because they really do get that satisfaction out of the workplace in many cases. So we're seeing that changing over the years, but some people who have learned to manage that time when they're off really do seem to have a better adjustment to retirement than people who are so work-focused and workaholics.
Tammy Flanagan is Senior Benefits Director at the National Institute of Transition Planning and writing again about the Best Days to Retire 2015 edition. So, okay, let's get to the nuts and bolts of this then. Let's figure that somebody has decided, yep, I'm ready to do it. I have a roster of activities I'm going to be involved with so that I know I'm going to be fulfilled mentally and emotionally. And I've got the money saved up that I can either just do whatever I'm going to do, or if I have a little bit of a sideline, it can be supplemental. I'm not going to have to make a living. I'm using air quotes as I'm doing this. So I'm really ready to go. What are the things that I need to get in order, especially vis-a-vis choosing if 2015 is the year when I'm going to go?
Yeah, well, if you're fortunate to have someone that you can go to in your human resource office who would call themselves a retirement counselor or retirement specialist, they can often help you choose the best date to put on the application. They can also be very helpful in preparing you for retirement through your benefits package, getting the forms filled out, making decisions that you have to make as you prepare for your retirement. But when you're just thinking about the date to go, most people start to give that some thought at least a year before they plan to leave. And then you take a look at the calendar, look at the pay periods, look at the idea of whether or not it's going to be of interest to you to save up your annual leave for that whole last year, and start to pinpoint that specific date of separation, that last date you're going to be on the payroll, and really try to time that in a way that your benefits are going to follow without too much gap in compensation. So that's what I write about. I write about choosing that specific date.
So that kind of gets at what you and I have talked about before about the best day to retire, is that the answer really is, as Mike says all the time, it depends. And it depends on a number of different factors and not just one or two.
Absolutely, yeah. It can sometimes depend on that life after retirement, because someone who's planning to work a second career probably doesn't want to separate until they have that second career lined up, and then they might be making a pretty quick decision. Someone else who might be retiring to just enjoy life after retirement might want to retire because of the weather, or because they just sold their house and they're ready to make that move. So sometimes it's not just about benefits and your paycheck, but sometimes it can be some of the other related aspects of what your plans might involve.
All right, here's a typical kind of quirky thing that somebody outside the government would say is that, wow, that sure sounds like the federal government. The 30-day retirement month, only 360 days in a year.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I guess for computer purposes or calculation purposes, our years for benefits purpose only have 30 days to a month. It doesn't matter if it's February or January, we always count a 30-day month. So if you retire at the end of the month, then you'll get 30/30 of your retirement check for that next month. But under the old retirement system, there's this quirky thing about having a 3-day grace period. So if you happen to retire in the first, second, or third day of the month, you'll get 27/30 or 28/30 of that first month's retirement check. But if you retire any other day of the month, or if you're a FERS employee and retire any day of the month, your benefit's always going to start on the next month. So you'll lose the rest of that month as far as salary or length of service and retirement check. So it always makes sense to start thinking about the last day of the month and then start to look at those first 3 days. That's the best place to start with.
You have a lot of information in this piece about the numbers that are involved here and how pensions and so on will work out. And we just have a minute or so left. And I wanted to ask you about one thing quickly, and that is leave. Sick leave and annual leave. How do I calculate all of those issues? Or what should I think about all of those issues when I'm trying to figure out my retirement?
Well, the nice thing is your annual leave is paid to you in a lump sum, so the more the better, because then you have that nice transition payment to get you started in retirement. Your sick leave gets added on to your retirement as far as length of service goes. It's not as valuable as your annual leave, so that last year you work, generally speaking, you'd want to save up your annual leave, and if you need to use a little bit of sick leave, it's not going to cost you that much.